Hare Krishna. I would like to first offer my sincere gratitude to Chaitanya and Janisha for opening the doors of their beautiful home for all of us this evening. Hare Krishna. I believe this is the first satsang program in your house. Many in the building, but first here. And the deities on the altar are very special to me. In 1989, when my mother and father first came to India, they spent about a week or so in Bombay and had major transformations in their lives at that time. In fact, my mother was dancing with Srinathji Prabhu's mother in the temple of Radha Gopinath quite ecstatically. And my father was dancing with all the brahmacharis during the kirtan. And from here we went to Jaipur, where we saw Radha Govinda Dev, Radha Gopinath, Radha Damodar. And then they wanted to see Taj Mahal. So somehow we went there. And on the way from Taj Mahal to Delhi, we left early morning. It happened to be my birthday, December 7th. And my parents, it was the first time they were with me in my birthday for probably 25 years. So they said they'd do anything for me. And I said, anything? They said, if it's humanly possible. So I said, on the way to Delhi, we're passing through a very holy place called Vrindavan, and we'll spend the whole day there. And all day, we'll chant Hare Krishna together. I'll clap my hands and you clap your hands and we'll chant together. So they said, yes, we will do. So we went to Vrindavan. It's very sweet. As soon as we got the car reached the limits of Braj Bhumi, I started the kirtan. Prabhupada's melody, Hare Krishna, Hare, and they were chanting enthusiastically, really enthusiastic. And then we stopped the car. And we were going to go to Radha Raman temple first. And I remember I told my parents, leave your shoes in the car, because I was afraid somebody would steal their shoes, because they had nice shoes. So my father's first step out of the car was into a deep, warm, fresh pile of cow dung. And his silk stockings were soaked with cow dung. And it was just sticking to him. A big pile of cow dung was sticking to his foot. And he was afraid to touch it. So we're walking, and he was really having culture shock. He said, what should I do now? And everybody knows what I told him. I said, cow dung is pure. You are becoming purified. And then we went to one of those hand pump wells, and I said, put your foot here. Anyways, we spent the whole day doing Harinam Kirtan, walking through the streets. We sat in front of Radha Raman for 1 hour, just chanting together. And toward the end of our journey, my mother and father said that we want to buy gifts for Srinathji's family and Krishna Chandra's family because they were so good to us. What gifts should we get? And usually men don't know anything about gifts. My father said, I don't know. Let Radhanath decide. And I said, well, what would you like to get them? And my mother said, deities. Let's get them deities. So we went to Loy Bazaar and we sat at Ganga Prasad Shamsundar Lal place. And he gave them all as gifts, saris and chadars and everything. And then they asked me to choose deities. So we got Krishna Balaram for Srinathji's family and Gornitai for Krishna Chandra's family. My parents paid for them as a gift. And Krishna Balaram is here in this home, Chaitanya. And Gornitai is in Krishna Chandra's house, and they're the presiding deities of Puna Yatra every year since. So these deities are very special. Tonight, so many wonderful guests from all parts of the world. I wish I had weeks to discuss the qualities of these people, but I'll speak very briefly. We have from Nigeria, Umesh and Aparna, wonderful friends, dear devotees. And today is Umesh's birthday. So let us wish him happy birthday by saying Hari Bol.
Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol!
Our sincerest prayers for you. And Arjun, who is from Bombay, but from another planetary system in Bombay. He's become a dear best friend of Radha Gopinath's devotees. And we have from Malibu Beach, California, my dearest childhood friend who we grew up with and passed through inconceivable transitions in life. We grew up in a village north of Chicago. We traveled in California together, in the Bahamas together, in New York together. We traveled through Europe together. And later on, we even traveled in India together as sadhus. I told the story last time in great detail. I think many of you have heard. But he is truly a dear, lifelong, loving friend. I'm so happy that you've come back to Bombay to visit with all of us. Let us welcome Gary back to Bombay.
Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol!
My father, one of the most precious joys in his life is that Gary and I are still friends. When we were young, he was always telling me, you know, why are you with this Gary? But now he loves Gary so dearly. He says to have a friend your whole life is such a precious gift of God. He's a very, although he is a physical trainer in the Malibu gym, he has a very deep and kind and spiritual heart. I'm very proud to have your company once again. Thank you. And we have Gurudas Prabhu, the first temple president of London, England, the first temple president of Vrindavan, District Mathura, UP, India. Delhi also temple president?
It's only six people.
First temple president of New Delhi. Gurudas Prabhu is history. Such an integral part of the history of all of our lives, because his sacrifice, his immense devotion is very much a part of the foundation that has made love of Krishna available to all of us. And there's so much we can say about Gurudas Prabhu. He's the one that took me by the hand and first put me right at the lotus feet of my Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, from a crowd of 25,000 people. He just picked me right up and pulled me to the stage and offered me to Srila Prabhupada. So I am forever indebted to Gurudas Prabhu, even though he stole my halava. But he gave me something better. He taught me from the onstart that if you want the higher taste, you have to give up the lower things. And it's never easy giving up the lower things until that interim period between giving up the lower things and before you get the higher taste takes faith and patience. So he taught me good lessons that I have strive to follow throughout my life. Let us welcome Gurudas Prabhu. And along with Gurudas Prabhu is Cindy. Wonderful, wonderful, blissful lady. She loves Krishna. She loves yoga. She loves devotees. And most of all, because she loves Gurudas, we love you. Let us welcome Cindy.
Arriba! Arriba! Arriba!
Of course, we have Vishakha Prabhu, who's like the goddess of humility and dedication. One of Prabhupada's very intimate associates. Prabhupada's personal photographer. Srila Prabhupada gave so much dear affection and responsibilities to Vishakha Prabhu. And through the years, she has just remained so faithful, so absolutely exemplary in every possible way. She's a saint. Really a saint. We're so grateful she's here with her illustrious daughter, Hari Priya, who's the goddess of naughtiness. Sometimes. But very philosophical and very wonderful young lady. Let us welcome them also. And we have Shyam Sundar Prabhu. He and Gurudas Prabhu, what they did together is they are legends in their own time. Together they started the first temple and second temple in the world of the Hare Krishna movement in San Francisco, Haight-Ashbury. They organized the mantra rock dance with the biggest rock and roll bands of the West Coast. And Prabhupada our Guru Maharaj, was the top billing star of the show. The warm-up bands for Prabhupada were Grateful Dead, Moby Grape, Big Brother and the Holding Company, Jefferson Airplane, Quicksilver Messenger Service. Yes? Now, in India, this sounds like Sanskrit to an American. But if you're from the 60s of America, these names, they awaken unwanted seeds within the heart. Yes, Gary? Guru Das and Shamsundar arranged all these bands to play for free, just to promote Krishna consciousness and Prabhupada. And the star act was Srila Prabhupada came out and did kirtan and gave lecture. And they were putting strobe lights on him and everything. He was then 71 years old, yes? And then Prabhupada had so much confidence, he sent them to London. And there they ended up living with John Lennon of the Beatles in his house for some months, and brought Prabhupada there. And George Harrison became a devotee then. They started the first temple in London. An amazing temple. Just a block or so away from the British Museum in downtown. Amazing place. And within a matter of months, it was overflowing with devotees. And Shamsundar was the one who, on Prabhupada's request, asked George Harrison to donate for Prabhupada's Krishna book. And later on, he donated Bhaktivedanta Manor, which is the European headquarters for the Hare Krishna movement, donated by George Harrison. But Prabhupada, when he saw devotees were enthusiastic to serve, there was no complacency. He sent them from there to India to establish our society here. Together, they established the Cross Maidan program in Bombay. Guru Das Prabhu was first president of Delhi, first president of Vrindavan. He was living at Radha Damodar Temple while the construction was going on, along with Yamuna Prabhu. But one of the special features I want to focus on tonight is Prabhupada wanted to go to Russia. He wanted to break through the Iron Curtain in 1971, when the Cold War was at its peak. And no one could get Prabhupada a visa for Russia. But Prabhupada asked Shamsundar Prabhu, and within a day he had the visa. And Prabhupada took Shamsundar Prabhu and Aravinda, two devotees, to Russia with him. And the day they were leaving, Shamsundar Prabhu just asked some devotee if he could borrow a camera and had one roll of film in it, black and white. And some of the most famous photographs of Prabhupada's life are Prabhupada in Russia in front of St. Basil Cathedral, is it? At the Red Square, just outside of the Kremlin. Shamsundar Prabhu was right there with Prabhupada, breaking the ice of the Cold War. And it was Shamsundar Prabhu who was looking for some vegetables for Prabhupada one day and met one young Russian and one young Indian boy. And he preached to them and brought them to Prabhupada, and that Russian boy became a devotee. And Shamsundar Prabhu brought the first Bhagavad Gita into Russia and gave it to that boy. And under communism, it was all outlawed, but it spread. It spread like anything under tremendous persecution. Is that Dr. Rawa's phone? Huh? Sounds like a bhajan from Pandharpur. So tonight we are seeing some of the incredible fruits of that endeavor. We have, I believe, 27 devotees from Ukraine. And the leader of the project in Ukraine is Achyuta Priya Prabhu. Now these devotees, what they went through, because years ago Ukraine was part of the communist regime under Russian control. Achyuta Priya Prabhu, they were hunting, the KGB was hunting for him and trying to catch him and put him in prison. But he was so intelligent that somehow or other he continued preaching, distributing books, having programs all underground, and never got caught. Amazing person. And one of the devotees who was here in Bombay with us, but who he became sick today, so he didn't come this evening, is Amala Bhakta Prabhu. Very simple, loving devotee. And in his efforts to practice Krishna consciousness under communism, he was arrested. He was put in a prison camp. He was harassed. How many years?
He spent 2.5 years.
2.5 years in prison. And they did not treat people nice in those prisons. They were just really downtrodden ghettos, hardly any heat. Where was he put? Siberia?
No, south of Ukraine.
Ukraine.
But he got tuberculosis.
He got tuberculosis in the prison. Other people in those prisons died. Some of the people put in those prisons, they were given injections to destroy their brains so they couldn't think properly. Permanently destroy their brains. Yes, they were experimenting and giving injections. Babies, pregnant women, their babies died, devotees died. It was to be a devotee in those countries at that time was not a, as Thomas Paine said about the Revolutionary War. He said when America was fighting the Revolutionary War against Britain, he said, "These are the times that try men's souls." It is not, if we want to win this war, none of us could be sunny weather patriots or fair weather soldiers. We have to be determined and willing to fight and willing to die for the cause. Otherwise, we lose. And in America, George Washington, who was the general, he took that speech of Thomas Paine and he promoted it like anything to give inspiration to people. Jesus said the same thing. Either be hot or cold, but if you're lukewarm, I spit you out. Hare Krishna. So these devotees, they had to be determined. Being a devotee in those days, in the communist countries, it wasn't a matter of just, you know, socializing with Vaishnavas and liking to chant Hare Krishna with the devotees. You had to have such faith and determination that you were willing at any moment to be arrested, to be imprisoned, to be tortured, or even killed. And yet these devotees, like Achyuta Priya Prabhu, Amala Bhakta Prabhu, they did it. And because of their austerities, because of their love, they paved the way for something unbelievable. When communism crumbled, by that time, there were thousands and thousands of devotees and a Hare Krishna explosion in those countries. How many centers are in Ukraine?
120.
In Ukraine, there are 120 centers. More than India. It is a fact. Unbelievable what they're doing there. And how many devotees approximately?
Three and a half, 4,000.
At least 4,000 devotees. And they're very enthusiastic. In Kiev, they just built a temple, and practically all the building materials of the temple, they went out and begged for the materials and got materials donated. Because Ukraine is a very poor country economically. Very simple. So we are so proud that 27 devotees from Ukraine are with us today. Let us very sincerely welcome them to our satsang this evening. And Achyuta Priya Prabhu, would you like to tell us the story of how Amala Bhakta was free from the prison? You know the story? Nancy Reagan. This was the time when Ronald Reagan was the president of the United States. I may interrupt you sometimes. No, you say.
Amala Bhakta was in prison and his wife was left with three small kids in the village alone. And smallest kid, Ladu, was like something like 1.5 years old. And she was left abandoned practically without any,
could everyone hear?
Any money.
You have to start over again and speak loudly.
Amala Bhakta Prabhu was...
Can hear now? Namamrita Devi? Huh? Put up the volume, please.
The screen.
Very loud.
This way?
Yes, very good.
Amala Bhakta Prabhu was taken to prison by KGB, and his wife, Kirtida Mataji, was left with three kids. And the youngest of these kids was 1.5 years old, and she was practically left in the village alone with these kids without any means to survive, practically. By that time, in the West, practically all over the world, devotees were holding campaign in front of the Soviet embassies to free Soviet Hare Krishnas. And Nancy Reagan, when she came to Moscow, to Soviet Union, she talked to Gorbachev's wife.
But did Kirtida talk to Nancy Reagan?
Kirtida was at that function. She was also invited to there. Many Soviet citizens who suffered from regime, they were invited, and Kirtida Mataji was also there. She
personally explained her husband's difficulty to Nancy Reagan.
Yeah, and due to that, gradually, our Hare Krishna prisoners, they were released from jail. Amalabhata Prabhu, including Amalabhata Prabhu, we had something, those years we had like more than 50 prisoners, and some of them died, some of them, as you said, lost, gave birth to a child in the prison, like Premavati Mataji, and she lost the child, died in the prison. So Chisuta Prabhu also died in the prison. Another devotee also died in the prison. It was tough, and we were collecting information about all of that, and we were sending this information to human rights organizations. And due to actually a push from devotees internationally, the devotees in prison were released.
It is my great joy to inform you that today is Achyutapriya Prabhu's birthday. And let us enthusiastically welcome all the devotees from Ukraine again. I'd like to ask some of our special guests to speak a few words. Begin with Gurudas Prabhu. Gurudas Prabhu also did preaching behind the Iron Curtain at a certain time. And you know, he for some time he was preaching with Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj in Bulgaria.
Just on the request of his Guru Maharaj, bring this Krishna consciousness to the English-speaking world. I was crossing a field, a football field, with Prabhupada in Gorakhpur. And I said, Prabhupada, did you ever play sports? Prabhupada said, yes. I was captain of the debating team. Debating team. Prabhupada was a very good arguer. He worked with Gandhiji, Vinod Bhave. He could defeat anybody, but when he met the walking encyclopedia, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he was defeated. Not that he was asking challenging questions, because as you pointed out, when we ask questions, we sincerely want to know the answer. And his questions were answered, and at that point, Srila Prabhupada surrendered to his guru and took this Krishna consciousness to America, knowing some English. But how would this elderly man convince the wild Americans so proficient in sense gratification? Prabhupada called the Americans old crows because they eat garbage, sense gratification. He called people from India new crows. that means they had to eat twice as much garbage to catch up. This is Prabhupada's humor. This is how he captured us, all attractive. He knew, he said, my God brothers don't have the intelligence, enthusiasm, or will to spread Krishna consciousness. He preached to Vietnam vets. He preached to hippies. He preached to high-class people, everybody. And by his being all attractive, knowing exactly what to say perfectly at the right time, having a heart attack, being sick on the ship, coming here, most people would return. Even Prabhupada wanted to return. He would go to the shipping office and see the times of the ships, and this would get this out of his system, but he didn't go back. And he persevered, and by becoming the instrument, the conduit of Sri Sri Radha Krishna, look how glorious his message has flowered all over the world. I owe so much to Prabhupada. He's changed my life forever. So I thank Prabhupada so much for bringing us all together as a wonderful family. Every place we go, we can chant. The love that flows between devotees cannot be equaled any place else in any group. And so I say, we owe it all to Prabhupada. Thank you very much.
Shamsundar Prabhu.
I sat over here so you wouldn't ask me to speak.
But you're the only one I could see.
Well, seeing Gurudas again is a great pleasure because it reminds me so much of Srila Prabhupada. When I see Gurudas, I just automatically, my mind goes back 30 years in time and goes to the Prabhupada, how he loved him so much. I mean, there's no way I would ever have made friends with Gurudas under any other conditions. They're from totally different worlds.
Can you give us some details on that?
But I don't think, you know, I don't remember anyway, but I don't think we ever even argued. Once Prabhupada brought us together under this loving circle and gave us the acceleration to spread Krishna consciousness, we just took off and all became the best of brothers and sisters. We were empowered in a special way in those days because of Srila Prabhupada's presence wherever we were. Even if far away from him, we constantly felt that he was with us. And our whole life was devoted entirely, 100%, day and night, to pleasing him. To just imagine seeing that smile on his face. Or that word of encouragement, or that, you know, approval that Srila Prabhupada would give us after we strived so hard to please him. And Gurudas, seeing Gurudas again reminds me also of the tolerance and the liberal attitude that Prabhupada had toward all the early devotees. He put up with so much nonsense from us. Gurudas had a dog too, and his dog used to come in the temple. He would come come in the temple and lay down by the door, my dog would stay out on the sidewalk.
The two dogs got along with each other?
They tell us kind of equal. They'd walk around each other. Those glorious days. But, you know, now it's even better. We're still here, and we've got tens of thousands of brothers and sisters. That's the nice thing. And our pleasure of being with you all has increased thousands of fold. I can't imagine my life could be any happier or more complete than seeing all the devotees nowadays that we have in this world. So we have another 4 or 5 days with Gurudas here. We'll try to give some on Sunday, isn't it?
Yeah, Sunday.
With photos and things from the old times, never before seen photos of Prabhupada. Bring back his spirit, his memory. What about Gary? Does he have anything to say? We got to get him on the spot.
We're saving him till last.
Oh. Well, I got to pay him back. I can barely lift my right arm tonight. Gary took me to the gym today. He lifts 4 times what I can lift. At least.
First we'll ask Vishaka. Prabhu, just fix it.
So Prabhupada, we can look at him in so many wonderful points of view, all the richness of his personality, his sense of humor and his simplicity and his wisdom, his ability to get along with so many varieties of people, extraordinary. And also one aspect that has not been fully explored that I would love to see explored is his ability to resolve conflicts amongst devotees. And that way he was brilliant. Just brilliant. I've heard various stories of how devotees would come to him at different times with some tension between them. And he would say the words that would appease both of them. Both parties would go away feeling satisfied and happy. So that in itself is a wonderful study. But what I think right now is how Prabhupada would be so pleased to see the congregation of the Radha Gopi in the temple. It's really exemplary. The mood between the devotees, the worship of the deities, the wonderful leadership of Raghunath Maharaj. I can just imagine that Prabhupada is beaming at all of us, all of you in this wonderful community. So thank you very much. We're very indebted to see the legacy carried on in such an extraordinary way.
And now everyone is waiting to hear from Radha Priya. Mataji calls him Mr. Gary. Anjali calls him Gary Uncle.
I was Okay, here we are. I was deeply moved to hear about the great sacrifices by people in the Ukraine and Russia. Having grown up in a Jewish family, I've heard my whole life about the stories of Jewish persecution throughout Eastern Europe, and I wasn't so aware of what the Krishna-conscious people went through, but I'm deeply moved by hearing these stories and the sacrifices made. And I'm very honored to have heard these stories and have met some of you, so thank you for sharing that. I think for me, the greatest, I don't have any stories like this to tell, but having known Swami Radhanath most of my life, has been for me one of the greatest joys of my existence. He didn't really touch upon the sacrifices that he made, and he made plenty of them. His journey to India to find his calling was fraught with danger, near-death experiences, and great sacrifice. I'm sure some of you have heard some of the stories, but he made it all the way from Europe to India, and he had probably less than $10 when he started this journey. You know, maybe he had 300 rupees to his name. That doesn't even get you across Bombay anymore, but he made it all the way from Europe to India on this amount, and it's amazing he made it. He should have died 10 times on that journey. And but so strong was his faith and his calling that nothing stopped him. I couldn't even stop him from making this journey, and I tried very hard. But you know, he's not a kind of man who will discuss his own sacrifices, but he's made plenty. And then when he came back to America and he had taken Krishna's consciousness as his life, his own family, there were sacrifices there too, because for a long time they didn't understand what he was going through, and they used to call me with tears and pleading for me to please tell them what's happened and how I can help get him back, you know. And that must have been very hard on him, because you know, we all want the love and approval of our parents, no matter who we are. And but eventually they came around, they came to India and saw what he's doing and met the devotees. And it was beautiful to see the transition, the full circle. They came back from India, and instead of calling me with tears and pleas, they called me to tell me how proud they are of their son. And what a wonderful life he has, and all the wonderful things he's doing. It was really great for me to see now that he had the love of his parents as well as the love of all the devotees around the world, and I couldn't have been happier. His mom and dad loved India. They loved meeting all of you, the devotees. They loved staying with the Mahatlal family. They look at them as a second family, and it was very moving for me to hear them tell me all these stories after years of hearing them, their anguish, thinking they had lost their son to some kind of fringe fanatical movement. But once they understood what he was doing, it was a beautiful transformation. And so, you know, and then Swami comes every year back to America and comes to my town in Malibu and continues to gather people who fall in love with him and listen to his stories. And it's just a beautiful thing for me to have known him all these years, and that he still considers me his friend, and is more than I could have ever hoped for. And so to be back here in Bombay again and to see him and all the wonderful devotees, it's a very moving, wonderful experience for me. Thank you very much again for having me. And I really look forward to Anjali's wedding. And somewhere amongst this wonderful people is her fiance, whom I've never met yet. I keep hearing about him. I look forward to meeting him this evening. And
Hari Hari, please stand up.
Oh, very handsome man too. And I don't know what else to say except that I love Swami Raghunath as much as my own brother, who, by the way, my brother is coming to India next week, and he's very, very anxious to meet all of you. So in advance, I thank you for accepting him as you have accepted me into your family. Thank you very much. I don't know what else to say, unless anyone else has any question or anything from me. Boyhood experiences with Swami?
I don't think he remembers that far back.
My boyhood experiences with Swami are the best memories of my life. You know, he was such a great kid. I think I told you last time, you know, he had many things he doesn't tell you. Like, one, he was a state champion wrestler in our high school. You know what wrestling is?
It's not,
have that sport here in India?
It's not true.
In Russia, it's a big sport, so I know you know. He was the best wrestler in our high school in his weight class. That is true. You're not supposed to lie, so you have to...
Not true.
And to be a great wrestler in the Midwest, that part of our country where wrestling is such a big sport, is no small feat. He was so dedicated and trained so hard and became so successful at our school. It was a very sad day for the wrestling coach when he told him he no longer was interested in wrestling. And I think the coach blamed me in part. He thought that I was a bad influence, as did his parents. Because at the time I had long hair and I was very different and you know, didn't have too many friends that...
Not so different.
Most of my friends' parents disliked me and were hoping that their kids would not be friends with me too long, but... childhood memories. And then when we finished high school and we traveled together all around Europe and all around the U.S., and it was just such a wonderful experience traveling with Swami Raghunath, because he attracted people all over the world, just as he does here. I mean, he wasn't yet a Swami, but he had that same spiritual quality about him that everyone recognized immediately. You don't have to be a follower of Hare Krishna to recognize the inner spiritual beauty of Swami Raghunath. And everywhere we went, it was easy to meet people because I was with him. And it's the same today, even in Malibu when he comes. Everywhere we've been, it's been like that. And so those are the sweet memories I have of my youth, associating with Swami Raghunath, and I hope to be associated with him for the rest of my life. I know I will. If he still accepts me now, I don't see what else I could do that would push him on. Does anyone else have any questions at all that I could maybe answer? About anything? No. Okay. Well, thank you very much for again welcoming me into your family. And I have some friends coming tomorrow, and you'll meet them, and my brother and my aunt are coming, and that's a very unusual situation. She's not the kind of person that we would have expected, as Swami will be the first to admit, to come to India. And she's coming because of her great love for Swami Radhanath and her trust in him. And so, thank you in advance for also welcoming her. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary. I'm sorry I said it wasn't true, but I have a different remembrance. I was never a champion. I was just a little guy who prayed to God to get out of it. But because I was not so bad, they would let me out of it. So I was praying to God to let me out of it. Then I dislocated my shoulder by God's grace, and I was out of it. Anyway, that's my remembrance. But Gary always sees the best in me because of his kindness and his love. And that is definitely true. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Now we will have kirtan for a few minutes. Are they allowed to dance in this house?
Yes, ma'am. This is our house.
Chaitanya?
This is earthquake resistant floor.
This is officially earthquake resistant floors. Now let us test. Dancing in Nam Sankirtan. And once again, Srinathji Prabhu and Srinathji Prabhu's good wife, Maithili Priya Devi. She has typhoid fever now. She's usually the most active, dynamic hostess in the universal creation. But I was told that Srinathji Prabhu has banned her from coming down. Yes? Something like the KGB keeping her upstairs in a prison just out of his love so that she will recover. So let us all pray for Maithili Devi for her good health. She's such a wonderful devotee who has done so much for our society. And Dr. Alwa he's like the demigod of medicine for all the devotees. Unbelievable personality. And his good wife, Mandakini Devi. Dr. Alwa has a clinic, one of the most successful medical clinics, and he has a deity of Krishna, Venkateshwar, at his examination table. And everybody who comes there has to lay down and place their head at the feet of Krishna to get an examination. And I believe 3/4 of his patients are Muslims. And he has the Muslims doing their namaz to Venkateshwar Krishna. And we've had devotees with diseases that nobody could figure out what it is. They've given so many treatments. And there's a mantra in the Brahmachari Ashram. Go to Dr. Alwa. He has this mystic power. He can just detect the essence of what the disease is and cure it. Amazing personality. And every weekend, he goes to a holy place to worship the Lord. So we're very grateful. And of course, Srinathji Prabhu, besides Guru Das Prabhu, Shamsundar Prabhu, and Vishakha Prabhu, Srinathji Prabhu has had the maximum personal association with Srila Prabhupada of all of us. He was one of Prabhupada's very personal associates. And Prabhupada loved him dearly.
Next week is their 40th wedding anniversary.
Next week is Srinathji Prabhu and Maithili Priya Devi's 40th wedding anniversary. And Chaitanya Prabhu, Janisha, Keshava Prabhu, and Namamrita Devi, and Radhagiri Dari Prabhu, and Brinda Priya. Such amazing, incredible devotee family, and all their grandchildren. It's really an example for the whole world. And it was their great eagerness that we come to their house so that they can serve us nice prasad and chant and dance. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Let us offer our gratitude to this holy family by loudly chanting.
Haribo! Haribo! Haribo!
And now my humble request is, let us cause an earthquake.